Welcome to Love Bonds, your place to hear the whole truth on love and relationships. It's here where you can get the tools you need to repair and deepen your romantic relationship. I'm marriage and couple counselor Terry DiMatteo, and I will help guide you through the complex challenges of romantic relationships. Let's get started. So most people think that communication, air quotes, is key to relationship. Most couples recognize that it's in the talking with each other, the exchange, where the problems seem to lie. And I understand that. In fact, when a potential client calls me, I often ask the question, what is it that prompted your call for your request for care? What brought you here? And the response is often, we're having communication difficulties. And I understand why people will say that. However, it's not quite accurate. The problem generally lies in the emotional layer of the relationship. It has expression in the communication, but I sometimes tease the couples when they come in. I say, oh, I can see that your vocabulary is quite robust and your hearing seems to be pretty good. Kind of making the point that it's not exactly communication. It's really about this emotional connection. So those of you who have tuned in previously or seen a video of me talking about my basic idea about couples and couples counseling will know that the couple is actually, the pair is an emotional unit, one, a singular emotional unit with two moving parts. The main function of the romantic relationship is to help balance and steady the emotional state. It's very similar to the way a mother and her young child or infant, how the mother responds to a child in distress actually benefits the mother's emotional state. So if you've heard me before, I've used this example because it's quite fitting that if a mother sees an infant, her infant or child in distress, that will put the mother in an anxious state. She'll be kind of wound up about the emotional state of her child. And the mother will respond in a way to comfort, soothe, and reassure to get the crying infant or child into a calm down state, and in doing so successfully, her own emotional state calms down. The romantic pair has the same mechanism in place, except we do have two adults, so if in effect they take turns being the mother and child. But the key here is this emotional acuity of tuning in to the emotional state of the partner. Most people in intimate relationship or marriages don't really recognize, are not tuned in to how impactful their emotional state is to the partner. When a partner sees the other one anxious, angry, worked up, in a tone or an effect that's loud, a distress call, essentially, it really rattles the other one. And they often don't recognize to the extent that this occurs, the impact they have. They'll sometimes read that as he or she doesn't care. They don't care because sometimes, or oftentimes, when one sees their partner in distress, it overwhelms them. Couples tend not to realize how intimately entwined their emotional state is with the partner. They're really linked powerfully. And so to go back to the example of a mother and a child, which is a very keen example, it's quite fitting. If you see a mother with a baby, someone you don't know or you know casually, or you bump into them at the store, you'll just see a mother with her child and the baby maybe making those familiar baby sounds, the little cooing or the little gurgles or those little sounds that sound like a little baby lamb, this kind of a sound. And you will just say, oh, there's a mother and her baby. And it's sort of a, you won't discriminate, in other words, as an observer who's not tied to that union. However, the mother with the child, even an infant, a pre-verbal infant, will tune in to the slightest sounds and discriminate them and make the determination on what the child's emotional state, essentially. Does the child need a diaper change? Do they have gas? Are they feeling afraid? Are they tired? Were they startled? The mother is tuned in to the emotional state of the baby, and we'll learn by paying attention and watching. Mostly, mothers are glued to the baby. They're watching them constantly to help comfort and soothe. It's actually to the mother's own benefit to get this right. And so in the same way, this mechanism between the husband and a wife, a romantic pair, is this tuning into one another. But now we don't have a pre-verbal infant, we have two adults. So the key here, although we say communication suggests finding the right words to clearly and effectively convey. People get frustrated. They said, I can't say it any clearer. Like, I just spelled it out for him. You know, what the heck here? Why doesn't he get it? But it's really the emotional undercurrent that's key. And this is what we want to get right. So sometimes people will look at the partner and say, oh, you know, he's really mad. I'm gonna stay away. They'll often read it as anger. She's frustrated. I can't talk to her when she gets like this. It's kind of overwhelming the partner, and they will either respond back, usually with a equally anxious, loud response, or they'll shut down and turn away. This is the worst thing that can happen. Emotional acuity can be developed. You can help one another, help your partner get it right with you. And the way to do that would be to clarify what's really going on with you, to use emotional words and say, I get a little overwhelmed when this happens. I need you. Can you come here? Can you sit with me? Can you just hold my hand? Can you give me a hug? I'm rattled right now. And in learning this dance between you to focus and respond, so part of it is observing the partner like the mother observes the baby and picks up on the subtle cues. And the other piece is, since you're not pre-verbal, most people have a pretty robust vocabulary and can be expressive, is to actually directly let your partner know what's going on inside of you. Say, wow, that really shook me up. You know, I was startled to hear that. I feel off balance right now. That makes me anxious. I get so mad when this happens. I lose it. And if the other can respond in some version of comforting, soothing, reassuring, it helps steady the fretful one. It's to your benefit. I sometimes tease, sometimes the male clients, but not always. I say, look, you have the remote control in your hand. If her way of interacting rattles you, throws you off, you know, makes you want to check out or go in the other room, you hold the volume control. It's almost counterintuitive because sometimes when you see the partner worked up, angry, affected, you know, kind of in a state, an emotional state, the partner will often want to leave or walk away or turn away. They're trying really to steady their own emotional state because it affects them so much. If couples can learn to read the cues of what these behaviors mean, because in the turning away, the conclusion is often, he doesn't care. He doesn't care that this is bothering me. Look at him, he's walking away. Clearly, that means not caring. He doesn't love me, essentially. Really, the partner is so affected, so impacted by the emotional state that they're trying to self-soothe or steady themselves. This works against the strength of the relationship. We want to make it so that partners can observe and read the cues fairly accurately so that you can tell if it's anger, frustration, exasperation, confusion, but also give them a clue, let them in emotionally so they can help respond properly. Help the partner get it right with you. These two things are key. Observing. Here, let me break it down into three parts. Observe your partner and then check with them. Say, you look angry. Is that right? Are you feeling angry now? Or you seem frustrated. Is that correct? And then the third part is sharing back where you're at. So say, I'm really to put a word on your emotions. Label it. The labeling of an emotion can really have a very powerful effect. I'm not just saying this because it's a thought of mine. There's actually research on this, that putting a label on an emotion helps manage the emotion, to know what you're feeling and to express it. The other piece to this that's very key is to always respond at the emotional level first. Then, secondary, problem solve. But first, steady the emotion. To go back to the example of a mother and a child, if a mother sees a young child, frustrated in an emotion, let's say they're doing something and they're getting frustrated and they're having kind of an emotional meltdown. If the mother rapidly goes into some sort of instruction, some kind of parenting, teaching, explaining, and the child's crying, forget it. They're not going to hear you. They're in such an emotional state that they will not, whatever you're trying to teach them or instruct them or help them with, will be on deaf ears. First, you have to comfort, soothe, and reassure. It's okay. I'm here. Kind of, you're not alone in your feeling. Mommy's going to help you regulate these difficult emotions. Come here. Come on my lap. It's okay. Something soothing. Then, when the emotions are steadied, and it's more regulated, more grounded, now we can do the lesson, the instruction. We can talk about what happened. This is the order of things. Many people, many people, it's quite common, go straight to the logistics, solving the problem, talking about the data. Well, if we had left earlier, if we would have turned right here, the remedy. No, first recognize the emotional state and respond to that first. This is called emotional acuity, tuning in, attunement, or paying attention and trying to get that right by observing and listening and watching and reading the cues, and also checking. It seems you're feeling this. Is that right? Help me get it right with you. I want to understand. And then back the other person who's in the emotional state, if they could put a word on it, a label, and say what they need. I'm shaken right now. That news, you know, knocked my socks off. I don't feel balanced right now. Help me out. Can you sit with me? Can you just be with me? Be with me. If you don't know what to say, just be present. That can be very powerful, to just sit near your loved one, your partner, even if it's in silence, or just, you almost always can't go wrong if you put your arms around them or reach for a handhold or just look at them. Your physical presence alone, if you can stay in a calm state while they're in their pain, has a profound effect. Getting this right is key. So when this does occur, and the couple can get this emotional acuity, emotional attunement, the watching, the response right, and they effectively steady their emotions and recognize that they are one unit with two moving parts, what occurs then, the outcome, is people feel loved, they're more confident, they feel less alone, they feel they can trust the partner, and they can rely on the partner to be there for them. It's essentially what we're talking about here is love. This is feeling loved. With you by my side, with you there, I feel better. You help ground me, essentially. Thank you for joining me today on Love Bonds Podcast. If you found this episode helpful, I sure would appreciate a review on iTunes. Just visit Love Bonds on iTunes on your smartphone. Tap on the podcast image and scroll down to ratings and reviews. Also, be sure to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Thank you for listening.